chapter 8 this morning, John chapter 8. This is our New Testament book we're studying through together. We've come to this portion of Scripture. We've preached down to verse number 24. So we pick up our study in this book in verse 25. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on verse 25 down through verse 59. And I'm going to try to get through this message this morning, but I may not, just depending on how quickly we go here. John chapter 8, verse 25, down through the end of the chapter. I'm just going to read verse 36 to get our text, our title, and then we will proceed with this thought. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I lift out two words in that verse. It's the two words, the Son. The Son. And you'll notice it's S-O-N. It's the Son of the living God. Let's pray together, and I preach to you on the Son this morning. Father, we love you this morning. And I pray that you help my heart to be right and clean and clear. If there is anything in my life that's hindering you, please forgive me, remove it, and get it out of my life. Thank you for this time. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from the Word of God. And may you do business, thorough business with us, I pray. Help the message to be clear and understandable. May the will of God be done, please. In Jesus' name, amen. In our progress through this book, as we come to these verses, we're reminded how the Lord Jesus has just lifted His voice, declaring to be the light of the world. In that, He was announcing that He is what this dark world needs. He can only say these things if He was God in human flesh. The remaining verses of this chapter, which is our text, verses 25 through 59, they continue to center around the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews ask Him in verse 25, says, "Who art thou? Who are you?" To this He answered, He was the same as He had told them from the beginning. Now, as you travel through these verses, we see the Lord identifying Himself on a number of occasions as the Son of Man, the Son. You see this in verse 28, verse 35, verse 36. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. That means He became flesh, my friends. But He's also the Son of God. He never ceased to be God. He is the God-man. And He's on display for us in these verses. As we study this passage of Scripture, I want to give you three major thoughts about the Son. And as we think of the Son of God, may God help us to apply these things and comfort our own hearts with what He did. First of all, let me give you the first thing we notice about Him. Number one, the Son promoted His Father. He promoted His Father. Look at verse 25. Let's read this together. Then said they unto Him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. There it is. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye see that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Do you see what He's doing here? I mean, over and over again, "My Father, the Father, the Father. I'm speaking what He told me. I please Him." I call this, He promoted His Father. Notice in these verses how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, elevated, promoted His Heavenly Father. In verse 26, He said His Father is true, and that He speaks what He heard His Father tell Him. He emphasized again in verse 28 how that what His Father taught Him is what He was speaking to them. In verse 29, He mentioned how His Father was with Him, and He does always those things that please His Heavenly Father. In this, I see four things that He promoted about His Father. And may these same four things be in our own lives. Hey, if you can call the Heavenly Father your Father, say amen this morning. And if you can, then what the Son did with His Father is what you and I ought to do with our Heavenly Father. Let me give you four things how he promoted his father. Four things about his father that he promoted. First of all, in verse 26, he promoted his father's purity. We see this when he said the first thing he said about him. He said, I want you to know something. He that sent me is true. That word true there means he is truth. He conceals nothing. He's completely clean. He's altogether pure. He's not holding anything back. Hey, let me tell you something. We need to promote the purity of our Heavenly Father. He is true. He is pure. He is clean. He promoted his purity. Secondly, he promoted his purpose. We see this in verse 26 and verse number 28. What I mean by that, and I've already read these verses, you can look at them again just while I'm explaining this to you. In these verses, verse 26 and 28, notice how the Son said that what he's speaking to the world is what he heard from his Father. In verse 28, he starts speaking about his death. He said, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up. And when he's lifted up, you're going to know who I am. That's in reference to his death. And he says in these verses that what I'm doing nothing of myself. Which according to my study means that he was working in accordance with his Father's will. In other words, he's saying everything I'm doing, what I'm speaking, my death, everything that's going to happen to me, I'm not doing this alone. He's saying the Father and I are in this together. In this, he's mentioning the things that his Father taught him, and the things that he would be doing are the things that would please his Father. I call this in his words and his actions. He's saying what I'm saying and what I'm doing is all in accordance with my Father's will. His Father's purpose, get this now. Here's the point. He promoted his Father's purpose when he said, what I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking from him. What I'm doing from him. He and I are together in this. He was saying his purpose is my purpose. What he desires is what I'm speaking. And what he desires is what I'm doing. What I heard him say is what I'm going to tell you. And what he's told me to do is what I'm going to do. Friends, we need to do the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Speak what he speaks. Do what's pleasing to him. And do what he is doing with us. Is God the Father's purpose your purpose? Are you living for him or living for you? See, he promoted his Father. He promoted his Father's purity. He's true. There's no sin in him. He promoted his Father's purpose. I'm speaking to you what he speaks to me, and I'm going to be lifted up just like he wants me to be. I do nothing alone. He's with me. In other words, his purpose is my purpose. Thirdly, he promoted his Father's presence. We see this in verse number 29. In this verse, he said that his Father was with him, and his Father did not leave him alone. Get this now. Even though many would leave him, and many would turn their back upon him. Well, this blesses my heart right here. Even though he knew who he was, and he knew the reason he came, and he knew that many people would turn their back on him, he wanted the world to know there's one who never will. It's my Heavenly Father. Friends, the only time, now let this speak to your heart. Jesus said, my Father's with me. He will not leave me alone. There's only one time in history and one time only that God the Father would ever turn his back on God the Son. And it was while he was hanging and bleeding and dying and paying for your sin and my sin. The Heavenly Father turned his back on his only begotten Son so he don't have to turn his back to you and me. You know what it's time to promote about our Father? That he will never leave me. And he will never forsake me. By the way, this brings comfort to your heart. At least it should. Did Jesus Christ have the trial of his life right in front of him? Absolutely. Did Jesus Christ have people spit in his face and turn their back on him? Did Jesus Christ Was he treated unfairly and unjustly? Absolutely. But he wanted everybody to know that if everybody turns against me, there's one who will never leave me. And it's my Father. You know what I can announce to you today, and I'm so glad I can? It makes no difference what's going on in the world, and it makes no difference if everybody on planet Earth turns against me. If I'm in God's family, and I am, He is always with me. And He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He promoted His Father's purpose. His purpose is my purpose. He promoted His Father's purity. He is true. There's no sin in Him. He promoted His Father's presence. If you turn against me, He's with me and He's not going to leave me. And then finally, He promoted His Father's pleasure. We see this in verse number 29. He said, I always do those things that please Him. In other words, He said, everything I am doing for the pleasure of my Heavenly Father. As we look at this first point, how the Son promoted His Father's purity, His Father's purpose, His Father's presence, His Father's pleasure. Let all of God's children here strive to do the same. Let us promote to this world our Heavenly Father's purity, that He is God and there is none other, and that He is true from the beginning and He's completely sinless. Let us promote our Father's purpose. May we adopt His purpose as our purpose. May His words be our words and His desire be our desire. Let us promote His presence. In Hebrews 13:5, where He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let us promote His pleasure. May we live our life in such a way that all we desire to do is bring a smile to the Heavenly Father's face. One of the things that I remember, among several things, about Preacher Lashley, my Moses. He's preaching in Bristol this morning. We need to pray for him. The Lord will use him in a great way. But one thing that I remember him saying is that if and when the Lord calls him home, in other words, he wants to go up in the rapture just like you do, I hope and trust. But if he tarries, he's coming, and the Lord calls Preacher Lashley home, I don't think I'll ever forget this statement. He says that what he wants to be remembered for, and I'm paraphrasing, is that he wants to be remembered as a man who just put a smile on God's face. Let me ask you a question. If God's children lived like that, that all I want to do is promote my Father, all I want to do is tell the world that He is God and He's the only one and He is sinless. All I want to do is make His purpose my purpose. Whatever He wants me to do, I'm going to give my life to it. And whatever He wants me to say, I'm going to say that. And if they will promote, and if God's children will promote that no matter, hey, it doesn't matter who's against us, it makes no difference what's going on in the world. He's with me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. And if all I want to do is put a smile on His face to do things that please Him, friends, that would change our country. That'd change our world. If God's children would promote the Heavenly Father just like the Son of God did. Let me give you a second thing. He not only promoted His Father, secondly, and I hope I'm going to help you here, He pinpointed His disciples. You say, Jody, what do you mean? I'm going to read these verses. It's quite a few now. I don't read a lot of verses typically, but I want you to get the full gist of this. Look at verse number 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus of those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now notice in verse 33, they say we're Abraham's seed. Is that a true statement? Yes, they are Abraham's seed according to the flesh. But notice the change of language in verse 39. He said, if you're Abraham's children. He didn't say seed there. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. But if you were truly his children, verse 39, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You say, Jody, what's he doing? I'm going to tell you what he's doing. There's people there today, I'm talking about on that day, they believed on him. They believed on him. But there's a crowd standing there, and there's a mixture. And he says this, if you are truly my disciple, if you are truly a child of Abraham, spiritual seed, if you're truly a child of God and God is your heavenly Father, let me tell you what's going to be in your life. This is powerful stuff, friends. He pinpointed his disciples. He puts a true disciple on a pretty much under like a spiritual, scriptural microscope. And he says, if you're truly who you claim to be, if you're truly a believer, if you're truly a disciple, here are four things to test yourself with. You with me where I'm going? He pinpointed it. This goes to show when it says that many believed on him, that the truth of God can receive different responses, because there's a crowd here who's blaspheming him. Are we not saying the right thing that you have a devil, Jesus? That's blasphemy, friends. There's a crowd blaspheming him, but there's also a crowd believing on him. As somebody said, the same sun that hardens the clay softens the wax. And after many believed on the Lord, he had this long discourse about who a true disciple is. In other words, one who says they are a disciple of Jesus Christ will have these evidences in their life. In this, he pinpointed what his disciples are and what they do. All here today can listen to his words and see if we are truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. These four things I'm getting ready to bring out that he brought out, not me, he did. If these four things are not in your life, you are lost. You're on your way to hell, and you need to be saved. You want to know what they are? Number one, he pinpointed his disciples. First of all, what does a true disciple do? What does a child of God do? What is an evidence of a child of God? Now these are not all the evidences in the Word of God. First John, you know, love of the brethren, that's not in here. I'm just tying myself down to these verses. He gives four major things. Number one, the first pinpointed thing about a disciple of Jesus Christ, number one, it's kind of a long one. Just listen to it and then you can write it down. His disciples continue in, hear, and keep his word. This is found in verse 31, verse 47, and verse 51. In verse 31, notice it. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. There's where I get continue in. Look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. There's where I get hears the word of God. And then verse number 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, there's obey. If you keep it, then you're not going to taste death. In these verses, we see true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, get this, respect the book that I'm holding. They respect this book, friends. In verse 31, the word continue means to abide in, to endure, to remain. The point here is a manifestation of the new birth. Now get this. A manifestation of the new birth is continuance in the Word of God. One man said this, continuance in His Word is not a condition of discipleship, but rather a manifestation of it. It is this, among other things, which distinguishes a true disciple from one who is merely a professor. It is not how a man begins, but how he continues and ends. It is this which distinguishes the stony ground here from the good ground here. Not, we repeat, that enduring to the end is a condition. It's not a condition, but it is an evidence of proof that we have passed from death into life. Listen to this, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Get this. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Get this. If he abides not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. That's what the Word of God says. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Let me say this to you. This doesn't mean that you can't backslide. This doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that there's a steady dose of the Word of God every day in your life. And if you're not reading the Bible, you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. But if you can take this word, put it to the side, not think about it, not care about it, not have a desire for it, and not respect it, you are not God's child. I'll amen myself. Because that's the truth. You cannot completely neglect the Word of God and be saved. It's impossible. Now, I'm not saying you can't neglect it. I'm saying you can't completely neglect it. There will be a part in your heart for the Word of God, even if you're not reading it. You know there's something special about the Word of God. Let me tell you why that's true. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who births you into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit authored the Word of God. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, He's going to love His Word through you. Amen. You must continue in, keep, and hear the Word of God. If you do not have a love for the Word of God, I'm talking about a respect for the Word of God. I'm not asking, are you reading it every day? I'm asking, are you continuing in it? Are you hearing it? Are you keeping it? Do you know it's the Word of God? Is it a part of your life, even if it's not in being applied the way it should be? If it's not, you have reason to put a question mark on your salvation. J. Vernon McGee said, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It will produce something. After a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will want to continue in His Word. The proof of faith is continuing with the Savior. As the pastor of a church, I learned to watch out for the person who is active in the church but's not interested in the study of the Word of God. Such a one is dangerous to a church. One man said, not he that runs fast and furiously at first, but he that keeps up his speed. Time and wear test metals and prove whether they are solid or plated. Time and wear, in like manner, are the surest test of a man's religion. Where there is spiritual life, there will be continuance and steady perseverance. It is the man who goes on as well as begins that is the disciple indeed. Secondly, he said that they will hear God's Word. They will continue in it, but they will hear. In other words, you can't get away from it. Is that putting it an easier way? You can't just put it to the side and it never bother you. There's not. I mean, you don't even think. You don't want anything to do it. A child of God can't do that, friends. You can't do it. You're going to continue. You're going to continue. Whether you're continuing or not, literally, you will continue in the Word of God. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? Hope I'm not confusing you. You can't get away from the Word of God if you're a child of God. Even if you're neglecting it, you can't get away from it. Then he said, you'll also hear it. This word here means to give audience to it. It carries the idea of regarding it, respecting it, receiving God's Word. One man said the force of this we understand as follows. Every member of God's family is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and in virtue of this receives with affection, reverence, and obedient regard the words of his heavenly Father by whomsoever they are brought. Hence, the reason why you do not receive my words is because you're not his children. In other words, that's what he's saying. The reason you don't want to hear the word of God, the reason you don't want anything to do with it, the reason that you, I mean, you could care, I'm talking about him talking to them. The reason you don't respect it, you don't want anything to do with it, the reason is you don't know the God who wrote it. That's what he's telling them, friends. So we see, first of all, that a true child of God, a true disciple, will continue in here, and then he says, obey or keep my word. The word keep here carries the idea of obeying. The bottom line is this, number one under this, I'm talking about he pinpointed his disciples, letter A, this is it. The bottom line for letter A is that a true child of God respects the word of God. Whether he's reading it or not, whether he's obeying it or not right now, he knows it's the word of God. Because its author lives in our heart. If you have a desire for the word of God at all, get this. If you are not desiring the word of God at all, no desire at all, and you are not continuing in it, you don't want to hear it, and you're for sure not going to keep it, and there's no chastisement in your life, you're a child of the devil. You are not a child of God. I'm not trying to get you to doubt today. I'm just putting our salvation under a spiritual, scriptural microscope. If you can completely neglect the word of God, care less about it, not want anything to do with it, don't even think about it. I mean, it's not even, there's no part in your heart, no part in your mind. You don't want anything. Then you have every reason to doubt your salvation. Because a child of God will have the word of God as a part inside of his heart. Number two, a child of God truly has been set free from the bondage of sin. We see this in verses 32 to 36. The Lord continues his dealing with these people by telling them the truth. In verse number 32, will set them free. He identifies the truth in verse 36 as himself, the Son. If the Son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the truth is the Son. And he said, if the truth will make you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. And they misunderstand and say, hey, we're Abraham's seed. We're in bondage to nobody. What are you talking about? Then the Lord said this, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever. But the Son abideth forever. You know what the word committeth means? It means habitual or continually sin. To habitually sin, to continually sin. Now get this. This is the second major pinpointed thought for a true disciple. A true disciple, a true child of God, has been set free from the bondage of sin. Let me explain what I mean. Those who are habitually living in sin, continuously, living in a lifestyle of sin, going on and on in sin, there's no chastisement, there's nothing going on right there. They're just going on, just happy-go-lucky. I mean, they're just living their own way, going their own direction. I mean, they are continuously living in sin. They are not a born-again child of God. Let me explain this now. The point is, a child of God cannot live a lifestyle of sin. I did not say they cannot sin. I sin every day of my life. And if you're saved, so do you. God's children sin every day of our life. But we can't get by with it. Let me say this to you. If you're going through life and you know that you're living a lifestyle of sin, there's no conviction, there's no chastisement, there's no salvation. It's that simple. Because God's children have been set free from the bondage of sin. This is found in Romans chapter 6. You don't need to turn to it, but just listen to this. Romans 6:16 says this, know ye not that that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In other words, you weren't saved. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. 1 John 3:8-9 puts it this way. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That word committeth there again is habitual lifestyle. Lifestyle practice. He that habitually with a lifestyle continues to practice sin is of the devil, the Bible says. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That word, again, they're committed, is a practice, present tense. Just go on and on and on and on. A child of God cannot go on and 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 on in sin and there be no chastisement. God's children cannot do that. Somebody amen me here this morning. I'm giving you the truth, friends. So if you're here today and say, listen, I don't have any desire for the Word of God. I mean, I could take it or leave it. I don't want anything to do with it. I have no desire. I don't respect it. I don't even think it's God's Word. And then you're living a lifestyle of sin. You're doing your own thing. I mean, just going on. There's no chastisement. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. The point is, those who can continuously sin without chastisement from the Heavenly Father have never been saved. However, those who have been saved have been set free by the Son from this bondage of sin. Do we sin? Yes, but we don't have to. Amen. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Dr. Torrey tells about a man in Chicago who became drunk and intoxicated and tried to kill his wife. Knowing that this woman's life was in danger, Dr. Torrey and some Christian friends provided her with a place to live away from her husband. The man kept getting drunk and going down and going down. He couldn't help it. He was a slave to sin, you see. He would beg for money and make promises he was going to get a job, but the money always went to whiskey, and people scolded him, warned him, trying to talk to him, but to no avail. He was a slave. You can't talk to men who are in slavery much, and you can't talk them out of slavery either. It takes a stronger power within. One day Dr. Torrey was praying and said, Lord, if you will just save that man, I will never despair of another man as long as I live. A few days after that, the poor man got his feet on the Rock of Ages and was saved, was gloriously saved. He became a good Christian, an honored member of the church, and later Dr. Torrey visited him and found that his wife was back with him, and they had a happy family and a Christian home. He said, all the talk in the world will not do as much for a sinner as Jesus can. Does sin have you in its grip? Are you a slave to sin? Then come to Christ and let Him set you free. Number two, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We're looking at how He pinpointed His disciples. His disciple will have the Word of God somewhere in his heart. Even if he's neglecting it, he can't get away from it. It's in his heart. Secondly, been set free from sin. Number three, His true disciples do the works of Abraham. This is found in verses 37 to 41 and then verse 44. See, these people were hung up on the fact that they were Abraham's seed. They said, we're Abraham's seed. See, they were relying on their family lineage, and they thought because Abraham was their physical father, so to speak, that God would show them favor. This is always a mistake. Just because you come from a Christian line does not make you a Christian. Oliver Green said, fleshly relationship, ecclesiastical standing, church membership, and educational and education profit nothing apart from the saving grace of God and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. What shall a man profit, though descended from many generations of church people, though he himself be a church member living a good life, if he never personally receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? The Lord told these people, he said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but if you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. Instead, they were manifesting the works of their real father, and he identified him as the devil. Get this. In other words, as children have the nature of their father in them, if they were the spiritual children of Abraham, they would imitate his spiritual walk of faith and obedience. There would be proof that they are his children. The point here, get this, is true faith manifests itself in works. Now get this. Just as Abraham was justified by faith before God, Romans chapter 4, verses 2 to 5, the book of James says that Abraham was justified by works before man, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. The bottom line is those who are a child of God, now get this, those who are a child of God will have some kind of works. Some kind. There will be some kind of fruit. Now, it may be 20, it may be 50, it may be 100, but there will be some evidence. Get this. True faith works. It doesn't work to get it, but it produces works. You do not work to have faith, but true Bible faith produces works. One man said, the true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart simply cannot be idle. True faith plants us into Christ and so receives virtue and life from Him. Harry Ironside said, there's no work of grace in the heart where there are no acts of grace in the life. And I say amen to that. Somebody said, faith alone saves. But faith that saves is not alone. See, a person's true beliefs will affect their behavior. William Booth said, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering step, like the legs of a man walking, first faith, then works, faith again, then works, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. Get this, the life lived is the proof of the faith held. Do you hear what I just said? Oh, I believe in Jesus, I prayed a prayer, but you're living like the devil himself, then the devil's your father. Unless the Lord's beating the daylights out of you with chastisement. If you don't live it, you don't believe it. It's that simple, friends. It's that simple. I believe that that chair can hold me up, but I'm not going to sit in it, then you don't believe it. See, true faith manifests itself in works. James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. Not works produces it, but it produces works. Faith without works is dead. Verse 26 of the same chapter, James 2, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Then let me give you a fourth and final point for pinpointing his disciples. His disciples will continue in here and keep his word. His disciples will be set free from the bondage of sin to where they don't practice sin as a lifestyle. His disciples will do the works of Abraham. They will have some kind of fruit to say that what they believe is really what they, there's fruit in their life. And then number four, a true disciple loves the Son of God. We see this in verse number 42. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. The Lord told these people if God was their father, they would love him because he proceeded forth and came from God. In other words, another evidence of being a child of God is you love his son, friends. One man said, no love to Christ means no sonship to God. When you love a parent, you'll love the child. Hey, don't come to me and say you love me and hate my kids. I don't want to hear it. And here's what Jesus is saying. If God's your father, you'll love me. Let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Say amen if you love Jesus. I mean, you really love him. I mean, you love him. You cannot take what I'm saying, but that's a great evidence that there's life inside of you. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, talking about the Father, him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, if you love the Father, you're going to love the Son. John 15:23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also, is what Jesus said. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. You know what those words mean? The Apostle Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. And what that means is this. Let him be cursed. Let him be banned. Let him be excommunicated by God's judgment. That's powerful, friends. And Paul said, those that should be excommunicated, should be cursed, should be banned by the judgment of God are those who don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. In all four of these things, we see the Lord pinpointing who His disciple truly is and what they do. There are people today who are settling for something less than a new birth. They're settling for something that has no effect on their life. Friends, faith in Jesus Christ is alive. It manifests itself in how we live. Now, let me say this to you. If you put your life right beside these manifestations here, and you say yes, 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 and God's witnessing to your heart right now, you're saved, you're one of mine. Isn't that great? Isn't it great? And if He's witnessing that to your heart, listen to His promise in verse number 51, where He says, He shall never see death. A number of years ago, a preacher friend, this is a man telling this story, a preacher friend of his was having an evangelistic campaign on the island of Jamaica. One day there arose a storm at sea, and off the coast of the island, a ship found itself in distress. Out went an SOS signal to the end, to the land, and just as the sun was going down, a lifeboat put off from the shore, braving the perilous waves in a desperate race against time to see if the sailors on that stricken ship could be saved. Darkness came on, and all night long on the island, people watched and waited to hear the news. The next morning, my friend set off for town to see what had happened. And he didn't have to wait long. A newsboy was standing on the corner of the street selling newspapers, and right across the front page in a banner headline was the one word, saved, S-A-V-E-D. His friend was curious and bought a paper, pointed the word saved, and said to the little boy, say, sonny, what does that word mean, saved? What's that mean? The boy looked at him in astonishment and said, why, mister, it means those people never died. That's what it means. You know, that's what the Lord's saying. That it can be said of those who leave this life from the shores of eternity, trusting in Jesus Christ, those people never died. We have Jesus' word for that. See what happens when a believer comes to the end of life's journey and faces the inevitable exodus from the dark portals of death that await us all is what Paul said, to be absent from the body. To be present with the Lord. A believer lying on his deathbed opens his eyes and looks into the face of his loved ones gathered around his deathbed. But when he closes his eyes, he opens them to gaze straight into the face of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see death. I mean, the Word of God says in verse number 51, it says, he shall never see death. That's a blessing, friends. When Miss William Booth of the Salvation Army was dying, Miss William Booth, she looked up and she said, is this death? This is glorious. Somebody said, but you're suffering. She said, oh yes, the waters are rising, but so am I. Amen. All I'm saying to you is that if you're truly a child of God, put your life under the spiritual scriptural microscope, and if God's Spirit's manifesting Himself to your spirit and agreeing with your spirit, your mind, you will never die. The only alternative is verse 44, and that is, have the devil, who's a murderer and a liar, be your father and be cast into the lake of fire. Let me give you one final thing, and we're just about through. Number one, the Son promoted His Father. Number two, He pinpointed His disciples. And in closing, He proclaimed His deity. We see this in verses 52 to 59. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. After the Lord said, "Those who keep His word never sees death," in those verses, the unbelievers said they now knew that he had a devil because Abraham was dead and the prophets. Of course, they were focused completely on the physical aspect of death, you see. Then they asked the Lord Jesus if he was greater than Abraham. To this, the Lord said his father honored him, and Abraham rejoiced to see his day and was glad. They said, "Abraham saw your day." He said, "Yeah, you're not even 50 years old." To this end, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, let this speak to your heart." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." You know what "I am" here means? It means I exist, I have been, it is I. See, he never came into being because he said, "Before Abraham," what? "Was." So there was a time he was not. You see what I'm saying? Before Abraham was, before he even came into being, I am. I was there. It is I. I'm the one. I exist. Before Abraham was, I have always been. That's what he's saying. He's given the same name as Exodus chapter 3 when God spoke to Moses. He said, "I am that I am hath sent thee." Was Jesus. It was Mark's timeless existence, absolute existence, independent of time. It's what it means. This was his way of claiming to be the God of eternity. Verse 59 confirms that this is what he was doing because they took up stones to cast at him, which was the penalty for blasphemy. Make no mistakes about it, here's another place in this book where the Lord claimed to be God Almighty. In Revelation 1:8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Three things about the Son. Three things. He promoted His Father. He pinpointed His disciples. He proclaimed His deity. And I close with this thought. Verse number 50. In verse number 50, he makes a simple statement. And he says it this way. He says, "I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." Who's he been talking about in these verses? His Father, His Father, His Father. What the Lord is saying here is that there is a fearful responsibility for what has just taken place. He was doing His Father's will, and they were treating Him ungodly. And He said, "I'm not going to seek my glory. There is one who's seeking my glory. And there is one who judges." And He's saying, there's a dreadful day coming because my Heavenly Father is seeking the glory of His Son. And my Heavenly Father will judge you for how you treat His Son. I trust I'm not talking to anybody like that today. But if there's anybody who pours contempt on the Son of God, does despite to Him, spits in His face, stomps in His blood, tramples on Him, the Heavenly Father will take care of that person. Submit to the Son now, because the Father will not put up with it if you don't. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me go ahead and dismiss those who are going to be baptized this morning. If you're following the Lord in believer's baptism, I'd like to dismiss you now. You go ahead and get ready. We'll be up there in just a few minutes. Is there one today here today to say, "Jody, based on all that proof and based on all that pinpointed things that the Lord said, I can prove by my life that I am a born-again child of God"? Have you know you're saved, not by what you prayed, but by the proof you have in your life today, you can prove that you are a child of God. Have you can prove that by the Word of God? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. Thank you. Good to be able to raise your hand to that, isn't it? Is there one today, say, "Jody, as you're preaching today and talking about these pinpointed decisions, and these pinpointed characteristics of a child of God, God is speaking to me. And I have reason to believe that I'm not a born-again Christian. And would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Would you say, pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to trust the Lord. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Let me simply extend the invitation this way, and I'll turn it over to Brother Gary as I go prepare for baptism. If you're a child of God, are you promoting your Father like the Son did? If you're a child of God, are you promoting His purity? Are you promoting His pleasure, His purpose, His presence? If you are, thank God for it. If you're not, begin today. May we live a life of promotion of our Heavenly Father. May His will be done. I'm just going to ask Him just to begin to play through softly. If God is speaking to you, you come. As we prepare for baptism, we appreciate your patience today. God bless you.
You may look this way. We do have fellowship in the church, and we'll have pastor take care of that. We do have one, Tyler Smith. You want to stand there, Tyler? And this morning, he got saved. Great. And I believe, did you deal with him, Brother Steve, or someone did? All right, good. And Tyler's accepted Christ this morning, so we're excited for you, buddy. That's great. You can have a seat there, and we'll let pastor take care of the other ones here. Let me give you a couple very short announcements. There are several meetings tonight after the church. If you're involved in the cancer ministry or the nursing home shut-in ministry, there are meetings for you tonight. And by the way, if you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you ought to have a ministry. You ought to be doing something for the Lord in this place. This is Music Ministry Month. I can throw that in right here. If you have musical abilities or gifts, you ought to be helping us in the choir. You ought to be doing the job. And you come and see me, we'll get you involved with that. But those meetings going on tonight. Thirdly, there is this coming Saturday, we do have our visitation prayer breakfast. Again, encourage you, say, well, I just don't know what to do. Come out and eat with us. We'll get you with somebody who knows what to do, and you can go along with them and learn how to do it. Finally, there is a sign-up sheet for the Appalachian Fair booths. There are two, the Amazing Grace Mission booth. We're still helping them. And then we do have our own church booth again this year. And we'll need people to man both of those, and those sign-up sheets are in the lobby there. Please sign up for those. That'd be great. Men, you come. We'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of the word of God. We thank you that Christ has the power to save and to deliver us from sin. Thank you that Tyler came and received you this morning. And Lord, we pray for these who are being baptized today, that you would help them to truly walk in newness of life. Bless them, Lord. Have your hand upon them. Do ask you, Lord, to bless this offering now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
believer's baptism. We know there's Bella around here, so that when I look down, that kind of confused me a little bit. This is Bella, and we appreciate her following the Lord in believer's baptism. Your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. This is Jeff Pendleton. Amen. He knows the Lord as his personal Savior. He's trusted Christ. He's following the Lord today in believer's baptism. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Patience Lauer, and she has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, correct? And she's coming today to show that she's not ashamed to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Matt Jarrett, he's trusted the Lord as his Savior. That was a blessing to see that and watch that. He's coming today to follow the Lord in baptism. We praise the Lord for it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Proud of you. Jessica Jarrett, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Proud of you. Thank you very much. And it has been done as the Lord Jesus Christ hath clearly commanded, and all God's people said. So thrilled you're here today. Try to be back tonight. Be right in your place. It's good to see Tyler Smith here, who has trusted Christ as his Savior today. Praise the Lord for that. And we're excited about that and all of this. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Caleb Clark is coming. He's wanting to join this letter, this church by letter from Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church. And we need to make sure we've got all the paperwork there and so on filled out. So if we haven't, we will take care of this tonight, if that's okay with you. Okay? Unless the paperwork's already done. Okay? We'll talk about this. We'll welcome you with open arms, and we're thrilled for you. God bless you. And get in here and help us do something for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord for it. And we're thrilled you're here today. God bless you. I do need to meet with all the singles, 18 to 25, and Caleb, I'll get with you as well to let you know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? 18 to 25, I'll be right out there shortly. You stay right here with us. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed in prayer, okay? Brother Scott Martin, sir, please.